Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
Well, today we're going to be taking part in a two-week, two-Sunday, one-week sermon series, so to speak, but it's really way beyond that. The idea that we're going to be experiencing this week really is not new. It wasn't generated by us by any means. As a matter of fact, I've heard of many churches doing something very, very similar, and I began to even look it up. I heard of churches who would actually cancel their Sunday morning worship experience, and they would go out into the community and do good things. And the slogan was, which was going to be on this image right behind me, it says, "Don't go to church, be the church." And that would be their big push. And I thought, well, that is really catchy. I mean, that really helps us really see clearly that there's things that we could be doing within our community. So we don't need to go to church on that particular Sunday. We need to do things that we would say would be the church, to be actively serving in our community, cleaning up things and all this kind of stuff. So I was sitting there thinking about this for weeks. And one day, traveling through downtown Flushing, probably on my way home, I just remember it because I have a little notepad in my truck and I wrote some of these notes down on this notepad. I began to think, you know, canceling church one Sunday a month to be the church is cool, but I think it could be deeper. I think it could be even better. I think we could call this church to something even higher. And so the idea began to form in my mind, driving through our community, seeing some of the things we could do to say, what if we took an entire week? And on a particular Sunday, we launched this idea of being the church. And then we came back together on the following Sunday. And we celebrated all that God did through that week. And through the week, we got together and we did things that God called us to do. And there would be projects that we could do in homes. There would be projects we could do within our community. There would be projects we could do for the less fortunate, for the hungry, all those kinds of things. And I thought, wouldn't that be cool? And so that's where the dream of Project B really started to form. It is not just a simple, let's be the church on one Sunday, but let's be the church throughout the week. Let's let people see us be who God has called us to be. And so this is what we're kind of launching for the very first time. As a matter of fact, the idea that we have now is to call everybody to do this for 1 week. And we're going to have several projects that you can participate in, but we're going to do it multiple times throughout the year. Project B, if it's successful as we think it can be, is going to be one of those things that you're going to hear about in a regular routine, and it's going to call you to deeper and greater things. And it's going to be a life-changing thing for you and for us as a church to be rolling up our sleeves together and serving our community in real practical ways. Here are four goals of Project B for our church. Number one, serve. We want to serve our community. This is really an all-hands-on-deck call. We're going to be people who are going to serve our community. Secondly, restore. I want to see us to be a people who restore hope to those who have lost it, to restore dignity to those who have not felt that in some time, to restore peace and joy to people who have been really hit the hardest by what life has brought. It goes way beyond cleaning. It goes way beyond building anything. This kind of restoration goes right to the soul. Thirdly, I want us to be people who worship through this experience. I want to celebrate God's work every step of the way by what happens here. So we're going to stop every time Project B is taking place. Every time we're involved in something like this, we're going to stop and recognize that it's about God and not us. Because, you know, we can throw money at a lot of things and we can say, just take care of that. And we can say, oh, look at us. Look at what I did for the church because I gave. No, this is about God. And we're going to worship Him and celebrate Him along the way. And the fourth goal is grow. I believe that when we actively do these things, when our faith gets put into action, we will grow in our faith. We will grow in our fellowship with one another. I don't believe you can serve and not be challenged to grow spiritually. I think if you can get on a bench and lift weights and you're guaranteed that your muscles will grow and you'll get stronger. If you go out onto the road and you run like many of you did at the CRIM yesterday, congratulations all of you who accomplished that. That's awesome. I'm too scared to even watch you, okay? But you can guarantee that if you get out on the road and you run, you will get healthier. You will get stronger. It's just a natural thing. Spiritually speaking, when you serve, when you take the needs of others and you put them more important than yourself and you sacrifice your time and your resources and you serve, you will grow spiritually. It is guaranteed. All right? You might not like the growth, but I guarantee you will. And so those are our four simple goals of what Project B is going to be about. Serve, restore, worship, and grow. Now there's a verse of scripture that really just grabbed my attention when thinking about this whole project. And I want to read it today, at least the first half of it. And I want us to think about its implication for us. Matthew records it. It's in Matthew 25. As a matter of fact, it's kind of put into the image that we've made for Project B with that M25:40 as the theme verse. Matthew 25 is where we're going to be. Matthew records this, what appears to be a long conversation with Jesus. If you have the red letter Bibles, you probably have several pages of red letters with very little black in between. This is a long conversation where Jesus is speaking and everybody else is soaking this in. This conversation started at the temple. It's in the very final week of Jesus' life. As a matter of fact, he says that the Passion, the Passover, is only 2 days away when he finishes this conversation. So this is near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. It starts in the temple where it's a public setting and there are a lot of people, Pharisees, Sadducees, coming at him trying to disprove things, trying to get him to trip up. But it ends at the Mount of Olives where Jesus is with some of his closest friends and where Jesus is speaking toward what they will be called to do in being the church. And that's where we pick up the story of the sheep and the goats. It's a story that we could go a lot of different directions with, but it's a story that Jesus is helping us see the last days, what the final test will be for us. Do you ever have a teacher in school that somebody, not you, but somebody got the test for ahead of time? You ever have a class in school where you knew what the test was going to be like? You knew what the questions were going to be before you ever showed up to go into class? Anybody? We're all too afraid to admit it in church. I had a professor actually at Olivet who for probably 15, 20 years never changed his tests, largely because he was blind. Did you guys have Professor Isaacs for history? It was invigorating class that... most people, when his wife would take attendance, because he was blind, people would try to sneak out. Because, you know, how is he going to know? Right? It was one of those classes that when we'd get together to study, there was the 75 question test right in front of us, and we all just studied the test. I'll admit it. It's under the blood. It's covered. And he's retired, and so it's all good. The tests are all different now. But I never acquired them, but I certainly benefited from those who did, and I would just always know what that test would look like. Now, this is similar to that. Jesus is giving us a little glimpse into what the final moments before judgment will be like, what the parameters will be for us to understand eternal life. Now, I think if Jesus were to give us the test ahead of time, most of us should pay attention. Do you agree? This is good cheating. Right here. Are we ready? Matthew chapter 25. A story of sheep and goats. A story of right and left, not politically speaking. A story where those who acted like the church were rewarded and those who ignored it were condemned. Let's read it together. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Now, this is a word picture. We'll stop right here. This is a word picture that people of their day would understand. Because shepherds at that time would often have herds of both sheep and goats, and they would graze on the same pastures. They would share the grass, so to speak. They would intermingle during the day. But at nighttime, when it was time to put everybody down and make sure everybody was protected, there would be a moment of separation because they didn't want the sheep to be bothered by those little ornery goats. And they would separate these two out. And so this is a word picture that everyone in his hearing would clearly understand. Then the king, going on in verse 34, will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" Then the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." Story of sheep and goats. A story of people who got it and people who didn't. A story of people who are separated, the right and the left. Now, we could go a lot of directions here. We could look at sheep and goats. We know that sheep are innocent, helpless, mild, useful creatures that tend to keep to themselves, easily scared, spooked to death, as a matter of fact. The easiest way to kill a sheep is just to chase after it, and it'll run out over a cliff because it's so blind and helpless, okay? They are not good protectors. They're just dumb animals, right? But they listen to their shepherd's voice. Sheep are not driven, they are led. Sheep are sitting next to you, I hope. Now, goats, on the other hand, I was given a lesson in sheep and goats in staff meeting not 3 months ago. I'm a city boy. I didn't really understand a whole lot of the differences. There are a lot, because they're different animals, right? Who would have thought? Goats are stubborn, unsavory, unruly. They're like a puppy who never grows up, right? So this is what we have. They have little value. I mean, goats are just, they're just good for mowing. You get a goat to keep the grass a certain level, right? That's about it. Some of you like goat cheese. Good for you, but that's not everybody, right? There's very little value here. And here's the difference. The goats want it their way. Right? The goats want it their way. The sheep want it their shepherd's way. Now, what are we going to be? What are we going to be, sheep or goats? Are we going to want it our way? Or are we going to want it our shepherd's way? There are six criteria that Jesus lays out that the sheep figured out. People were hungry and they fed them. People were thirsty, they got a drink. Now, that's pretty easy. I think most of us could say, I can handle that. I'll help feed the hungry. I'll help, you know, give water to the thirsty. But it gets a little tougher when we look at the next area where there's a stranger and they're invited in. Maybe Jesus didn't understand all that was going to happen in our world and how dangerous our world has become. So we probably could get out of that one. You think? You think? I mean, it's a dangerous world out there, right? What if we looked at stranger just a little bit different? What if we used the word outsider? What if we looked at people who might be not considered part of your group, outside your group, outside your sphere of influence, and we invite them in? What if we became a welcoming people? What if we became friendly? What if we were kind? So that nobody felt like they were outside at all. As a matter of fact, they didn't even feel like they were strange. They felt so welcomed in by our invitation. Then maybe we're getting it. How about need of clothing? Well, you know, I can clothe people. I've got leftovers. Well, giving out of abundance is one thing. But taking care of someone who has nothing to cover them, the bare essentials, well, that's another. So what if we treated people like our neighbor, like the next example, those who are sick? Do you remember the Good Samaritan story? Maybe some of you aren't familiar with it. That's totally understandable. a good Samaritan, a man who should have never stopped to help a man bleeding on the side of the road. He not only took care of his wounds, gave him first aid, he took him to an inn. He made sure he was cared for. This man was wounded, and he went above and beyond. And Jesus said, that's treating that person like your neighbor. That's what I'm talking about, Jesus says. We need to be people of sacrifice. We need to give our time. We need to take care of the sick. It's getting challenging, isn't it? It's getting a little bit more uncomfortable to be a sheep and not a goat. How about the last thing? Those who are in prison were visited. It's the last time you've been to a prison. What if what Jesus is talking about is not a physical prison with bars and security? Though I believe that to be very important, and I've done that a few times, and it's scary. Because when the door closes behind you, it closes behind you. Okay? But what if he's also talking about some of the prisons of our mind? What if he's talking about the things that keep you terrified into yourself? What if he's talking about the ability for us as believers to crash through people's loneliness in order to be a genuine friend? What if Jesus is talking about we need to bust through depression and show God's love? What if it's deeper than just a prison cell? What if it's about really just being there? How would you get graded on a scale today? Would you be on the right? Or would you be on the left? Tough to say, isn't it? It's a scary scale. Here's what the church needs to look like. Five things. Five easy steps in progression for us all to grab a hold of today. What does it mean to be the church? Number one, be aware. We need to be people who are aware of the needs around us. Our eyes need to be opened. You know how that happens? Through God's grace working in and through you. God's Spirit opening your eyes. But we need to be aware of what's going on. We need to be aware of the obvious needs and the hidden needs. We need to become aware of the easy things, and we need to take care of them. And we need to be aware of the difficult things and be willing to sacrifice. Secondly, we need to be available. We need to be available. All the moms are going, do you know how much time I spend in my minivan? Do you know how much time I spend at the store? It's back to school season. I've got to get clothing on my children. All the dads are saying, do you know how many hours I've put in this week? Do you know how hard it's getting because there's fewer people doing the same amount of work at my place and it's not getting any easier? I know. I do. It's hard. But we need to become available to God. This is a quote I learned in college. It's not about your ability, it's about your availability. And God can't use you if you don't get yourself to a place where you are available to Him. We become aware, we say yes and become available. Thirdly, we become active. If we stop at being aware and available, all we have is good intentions. Good intentions get us nowhere, right? So what we need to do is take that step where we need to be sheep who feed people, who give drinks, who offer water, who clothe people, who care for people, who visit people. We need to be people who say yes and go and get active. And this is where many of us trip. It's where I trip. I see people walking on the road and I say no instead of go. I see needs in our community and I think, do they really need that or am I being scammed? That's saying no, not go. We need to be people who get active. Fourthly. Is fourthly a word? Fourth. We need to be blessed. The scripture says clearly in verse 34, then the king who looks at the sheep says to those on his right, come, you who are blessed. You will always receive more than you give. So when you become aware and available and then you get active, you will be blessed. Fifth and finally, you need to be filled. We've talked about appetites for the last 2 weeks if you've been with us. If not, download those messages. We've talked about the need to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And that when that happens, we will be filled by God's presence. We believe it to be the standard, the must in our life to spiritually grow. To accomplish the goal of being filled, we need more of Jesus filling us. Friends, this is the honest truth. If we do these things that I'm about to outline to you in the next 15 minutes, and we do them in our own strength, we'll be empty. We'll be dry. We'll be bitter. We won't have God's joy in our life. But if we allow God to fill us, if we allow Jesus to fill us, we will have a joy that nobody can quench. We will have something in deep inside of us that nobody can steal. It will be deeper and run so thoroughly through us, it will radically transform our vision of God and others and ourselves. Pastor Steve is going to sing a song that is speaking of Jesus filling us and our need to have more of Him. No lyrics on the screen. I just want you to listen to his words as he sings and allow this song to challenge you to be filled today.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.